Hi, this is Pratik Patel, and you're listening to the WebEx Podcast.
Welcome to WebEx, Podcast 96, WordPress and Events. Ross is on the line.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ross. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Yeah, I was just thinking that recently.
I've been pretty busy myself.
Yeah. Life has a way of getting busy, I suppose.
We have a lot to talk about, though. There's a lot of great things happening as far as accessibility goes in WordPress lately, and a lot of events and things going on that we'll talk about, and some news bits and links.
Yep, so it should be a good episode. I guess as far as things that are new, I guess one notable thing is the new WebEx website.
Yeah, so that's huge news. So I guess just a few weeks ago. So the whole website, the URL, and everything has changed. So it's now webax.org.
Yep. So no longer on Blogger.
And done with Blogger. Yay!
So what finally made you decide that now is the time to transition?
Well, I've been wanting to do it, you know, for 1 or 2 years.
Sure.
And like we'll talk about, there's been some good accessibility things happening in the WordPress world, so I took advantage of those and made a nice new clean WebEx website.
Awesome. So did you have to like move all the podcast archives over and all that?
Well, it's a long story. The podcasts were actually hosted separately from my web overhauls. Like website.
Okay.
So all those links pretty much stayed good. You know, the RSS feed link changed, and there's been a lot of big changes. So in a way, it's almost like starting over. So please, if you're a subscriber, make sure you update your RSS subscription. So it's now just webex.org/feed. I believe.
Yep, nice and easy. Should be able to remember that.
Yeah, and so obviously it's running on WordPress, and we'll talk about it more in a few minutes, but yep. That was a huge move.
Definitely, yeah, and make sure to check it out because it looks great. So,
thanks.
Very nice looking site.
I like it.
Not that you're biased or anything.
Yeah. So you have an update on your book.
Yeah, so I think I'm in 2 years in the making, but I've actually held it in my hand, which is a very weird feeling. So I actually received the prototype where I can kind of go through and do any last-minute layout tweaks and stuff like that, and I have to build the table of contents still and a few last-minute things, but it's, like, practically done. So it only took me 2 years. Not bad.
I guess that's not bad. I don't know. It takes a while to write a book.
Yeah, well, I think it was only supposed to take a year, but you know how that stuff goes. And
yeah, exactly. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
We'll be looking forward to the release and more information on it.
Yeah, stay tuned for more. I'm sure I'll see if I can have you post an update here and, you know, check out my blog, too.
And if our listeners didn't catch it in an earlier show, do you want to give a just a brief description of the book?
Sure. So it's called The Six Layers of Design, and basically it goes over the six kind of key aspects that the most effective designs have to address. And by design, it's not necessarily just like how does it look, but it's also looking at, you know, how reliable is it across different platforms and browsers. And devices, especially these days, all the way to does it create like an emotional impact and that sort of thing. So
it's kind of excellent
design as a whole.
Very good.
Yes. Yep. And you've been busy yourself. Looks like you've been presenting all over the place.
Yeah, I went about a 4 or 5 week span, and I presented 3 times. So
wow, busy.
It went really well. I drove down to L.A. from Cupertino in the San Jose area, and attended the Accessibility Camp LA, the very first one. And I was asked to present an introduction to accessibility or web accessibility, and it went really well. So in the there was a pretty good turnout, and I saw the CSUN campus, so that was neat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was nice. And there were some different folks, you know, flew in from around the country to some experts to attend. So that was really cool. And present.
You mean accessibility celebrities?
Yeah, yeah. We all came in and chipped in to share the knowledge. So it went really well. Yeah, then there was an HTML5 developer conference in San Francisco. I think that was like the week before or something. And I presented on just the basics of accessibility in ARIA and a drop-down widget. So explained ARIA a lot, and then gave an example of this like drop-down button menu widget thing.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, in both of those events, I actually represented PayPal, my day job.
Oh, okay.
In PayPal.
Do they pay you for that?
Well, they paid most of my way. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
And PayPal sponsored lunch at the Accessibility Camp LA.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I helped with that.
Yeah, be able to contribute in that way.
Yeah. But when I went to the HTML5 developer conference in San Francisco, two other guys from PayPal that I work with wanted to go. So I picked them up, and early in the morning we drove from San Jose all the way up to San Francisco. Then drove home, you know, by like 8 o'clock or something, and did that the next day again. But it worked out pretty well. I found a nice, affordable parking garage just like a block from the hotel in downtown San Francisco, so it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always exhausting. I find conferences, especially when you're speaking, it's like it takes all my energy to be and learn all day, and, you know. So kudos for doing it.
Yeah, it went really well. If you go to the website, you could view my presentation, but the HTML5 Developer Conference website is, they're posting a bunch of the slide decks from the talks and some videos too, so check it out.
Okay.
And one more, I think the first one was the Access Camp in Boston, and I gave a presentation virtually, I think it was over Skype. Oh, yeah, I gave the how to create a accessible web application or something like that. And it was an enhancement of a presentation I did like a year or so ago. And this one, it went fairly well. And I put it up on SlideShare, and oh, my God, I got like thousands and thousands of views on SlideShare. It was awesome.
Oh, cool.
I think it might be up to like 40,000 views.
Wow. So what was, people just come across it, or did somebody well-known favored it? Do you know?
Well, I think it was. It was probably because it was from that event. It might have got more exposure, you know, and then on Twitter and stuff. But then, you know, when things catch fire, they spread fast.
Right, right. Have you read The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he, I guess, breaks down that whole concept into kind of more of a science, but...
Oh, yeah?
I think there's like four different groups of people that kind of cause these things to catch on and become popular. Somebody from one of those groups did that.
Interesting. A little more recently, on WebEx, I wrote an open letter to SlideShare, speaking of SlideShare, and because I'm getting pretty tired of the lack of accessibility for the slide decks and especially the text transcripts when it translates the PowerPoint or your presentation file. It doesn't really do a great job. So, but they responded on Twitter and said that they would, you know, have their developers check it out or work on it or something, and so hopefully that'll happen. So we'll see.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, at least they're paying attention. Or they do anything, I guess that's the big...
Exactly.
We'll stay tuned and maybe update in a future show.
And another pretty long and, I think, a good blog post that that was done since our last podcast, I just wanted to point out, was the Pro HTML5 Accessibility book review by Joshua O'Connor. And so if you haven't read it yet, check it out. It's a book review, but I also discuss, like, I bring up a few points, and there was actually maybe a couple points in the book that I didn't disagree with, but all in all, it was an excellent, excellent book, so I highly recommend it.
Excellent. I haven't read
Read any of it? No?
No, it's kind of been on my list, but I actually haven't read any, like, dev-related books in a while, because last year I read so many that I'm kind of taking a break.
Yeah. The book was sitting on my desk for like a few weeks, and then where did that go? I went somewhere, and I was able to actually read it. I think I went on the plane somewhere, and that was actually, then it gave me time to actually really read it, you know, and make notes and stuff.
Yeah, I need the same thing. It's like I have to go on vacation to read for whatever reason. Not that I don't have time at home, I just don't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so there's been a lot going on. Let's move on to some news items.
WebEx.
In the news, there's been a couple things happening related to web development and accessibility that I thought we could talk about for a few minutes.
Yeah. I think the first one you have here is the one I'm most interested in. So,
yeah.
The ongoing evolution of the HTML5. Spec. Now they're talking about a main element.
Yeah, so the HTML5 structural elements are new. Of course, if you're not familiar, instead of using divs, there's actually now like header and footer and a side.
Article, section.
Section, article, elements that you can use.
Yeah.
But like... there was never an element created for the actual main content of a page that was kind of forgotten. Well, not forgotten, but not done by the editor who we will not name.
Right.
So now there's been, I guess, another attempt, a more promising attempt, and it's looking pretty good, I guess, to bring in that main element.
Yeah, and so the idea is kind of, within any page, you have different bits of content. And so this would allow you to wrap kind of the primary, the main, for lack of a better word, content in its own element. And
the way
I kind of think of it is like, you know, if you have your skip links and you have skip to content, it's like where the skip links would bring you.
Yeah, where the skip to content would take you is the main content, right?
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Definitely.
And with the mapping of the ARIA landmark roles to the general mapping to the HTML5 structural elements. I made this an illustration. I should link to that. That's on Flickr. But anyways, the main header on your page would have a role of ARIA role of banner, and like a side might be a role of complementary, and then your main page footer would have a ARIA role, landmark role of content info, and there's an ARIA role for called main content that you would put on the main content. But there is no, until now at least, there's no HTML5 element that maps to main content. So now we have that relationship.
Yeah, which is really cool. So do you do much writing in HTML5 these days, or are you still doing HTML4, XHTML?
Well, any new sites that I write is HTML5. At my day job, it's mostly HTML5. And, I still need to, a couple of my older sites, I need to update to HTML5, but mostly HTML5.
Very good.
You?
Yeah, mostly HTML5, and it's mostly maintaining, older sites in HTML4, XHTML. Although at the school that I teach at, Washtenaw, we're still teaching XHTML because of the browser support isn't there. So since we're teaching entry level classes,
oh okay, well that makes sense.
So
you're still doing that? I didn't realize you're still teaching over there.
I haven't for a couple semesters. I'm actually now teaching more at Michigan State. A mostly online class, but I'm sure at some point I'll start teaching there again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, one of the other reasons I don't read.
Busy man.
Yeah.
And then in the show notes, I'll also put, it's definitely worth a mention, a shout out to Steve Faulkner, one of the unsung heroes out there of the Paciello group. So he's done most of the work, the heavy lifting on this main element. So the other item is Long Desk. My friend John Folio is for years now has been pushing and one of the main helpers of this. And there's a new HTML5 draft extension for Long Desk, done by Charles McCathy Neville.
Yep, so this is good news for accessibility.
Yeah. I've been a long-time advocate myself, and, our HTML5 and ARIA don't really have a replacement for Long Desk, so it's looking like it will be maintained.
Yeah, which is really good, especially as I feel that, rich media is being used more and more, and I find more text and images and stuff like that, infographics, so.
Yeah. Charts and comics and definitely infographics are getting much more popular.
Right, so, yeah, certainly the alt attribute doesn't do the job there.
Yeah. So let's hope the, browser vendors and folks, will support Long Desk more. And the NVDA apparently now supports Long Desk. So I haven't tested it myself, but the brand new build, is, from what I hear, has support. And there's a link in the show notes.
WebAss.
Okay, WordPress. Let's move on to our main topic of today.
Yep, so WordPress certainly doesn't seem to be losing any popularity these days. Like every time, I feel like every day I hear some crazy statistic about how WordPress powers 10% of the internet. And sort of,
really?
Yeah. How accurate that is or not, I don't know. But
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's definitely the most popular content management system out there, which is potentially really good, and potentially there could be some areas to improve, particularly accessibility.
Yeah. I wrote a blog several years ago about WordPress themes and lack of accessibility, and there really hasn't been a whole lot of movement. You know, the WordPress basic themes have slowly getting better.
Yeah.
You know, WordPress has always been pretty good with web standards, so that's a good start. But there's of course, a lot more that need to be done. I don't know, maybe a few months ago, I came across this theme, Blaskin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool WordPress theme that uses media queries and is pretty accessible and stuff. So I thought that might be good for web apps. And then I just ran with it, and I had to do some modifications. I actually emailed with the author of the Blaskin theme and sent him some suggestions to increase the accessibility, make it even better. So he's working on that. So in future updates of that theme, it'll be even more accessible.
Very cool. And this is the theme that powers the new WebEx site, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a really cool theme. I can't believe it's free. You know, it looks like one of the, premium themes you'd buy.
Yeah, it's and it has responsive design. That's real nice.
Yeah.
And so that's that. But then when I decided to go with it, I contacted our friend Joe Dulson, and I said, Joe, I said, with the new WordPress, I can't find a plugin, to remove all these crazy redundant title attributes everywhere.
Yeah.
So I said, can you, because he's a whiz at this stuff, right?
Right.
So I said, can you build one, man? Because this is killing me. I can't release the new WebEx website on WordPress and have all these redundant attributes everywhere. There's no way that's going to happen.
Right, right. And he did it?
And he did it. And he not only did that, but he couldn't stop and started adding on all these things to his plugin that he's making. And then a week or two later, he released it. So WP Accessibility is the name of the WordPress plugin. And he's added a bunch of other features, including skip to links and some other fixes. And so in the long run, we want obviously WordPress to fix a lot of these issues. But for the short term, this is a great plugin that I think every WordPress, site should have.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to start using it on all the sites that I build and yeah, hopefully someday gets integrated into the core.
About the same time, I came across another plugin, this WP Accessible Twitter Feed. That's the name of the plugin. Which just gives you a nice, simple, output of your Twitter feed onto your page. So it's accessible because it's just, clean markup from server side.
Oh, very cool. Actually, I hadn't, I wasn't familiar with this one, so that's another one I'm going to have to start using.
Yeah.
It's seems like there's no, great way to integrate Twitter into your site, because, they want you to use kind of the inline JavaScript and stuff. And
yeah, those widgets and stuff, and those aren't never built with accessibility in mind,
right.
Unfortunately.
And they're really slow, it's your whole, yeah.
Be careful where you add your external JavaScripts on your page because you could block your site.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a whole talk about this, a whole meetup about it the other night.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Anyways,
there's all sorts of tricks to asynchronously load them and all that stuff, and it's much better just to, hey, why don't we do it server side?
Yeah, that's the best. But yeah, you could dynamically create that link, a JavaScript, external JavaScript link, instead of just hard coding it. Then that's supposed to make it go asynchronously.
Right.
Anyways, so back to WordPress. There's even more stuff going on.
There's project. So this is interesting. It's almost my understanding is kind of a call for more accessible themes.
Yeah. Joseph O'Connor, who retired, and he's no longer CSUN webmaster. But you could reach him on Twitter at Accessible Joe. He presented this cities project or concept at the inaugural Accessibility Camp LA. And he's basically calling for more accessibility in WordPress and asking different cities to come up with an accessible theme. I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. So each city that wants to participate would have, he gave an example, like Accessible Los Angeles. And then if I got one started, it would be Accessible Detroit or Ann Arbor, I suppose. But wherever.
Ann Arbor.
Yeah, accessible.
Besides that, in addition to that, on WordPress.com and WordPress.org, there's some movement happening. Basically, there's a theme accessibility audit, and it's a draft proposal, and there's a lot of comments there, including from Joe Dalson and Joseph O'Connor, and I made one little comment on there, suggestion. But basically, it's a proposal for when a theme in WordPress is made, that the theme be checked for this criteria, and if it passes, then it gets like an accessibility tag.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So that's a whole other thing going on. So so it's coming together. So WordPress, you're going from good to better. So
right. And being that it's so widely used,
you
can make it really accessible out of the box, and then push for more accessible themes. I mean, it could really have a huge impact on the web.
Yeah, and the admin interface itself, obviously has some accessibility challenges, and it's pretty modernized and Ajaxified. So you know about that, right? You've done a couple plugins for the admin interface, didn't you?
Yeah. I've done a few. I haven't done much for them lately, but yeah, I've dealt with all of that.
Yeah, so that's a whole other side of WordPress to think about, is the admin area and accessibility of that.
Right.
But things are looking good. So please, if you have any more input or tidbits about that, please leave a comment in the show notes.
WebEx.
Links. A few notable articles and links that have come out recently.
First one is about our good friend Aria. I guess not really a friend, but...
He's become my friend.
Do you have long discussions with Aria about the best way to build web applications?
There have been a few, yeah.
Good.
So I have learned in the last year or so, since I've been working at PayPal, I've been doing a lot more work with Aria and been learning a lot more, so it's been really good. Let's see, there has been recently at AHG, Accessing Higher Ground, in Colorado. That was like a week or so ago. And WebAIM presented there, as they usually do. And there's a great online pages or slides, I guess, web page slide show from Jared Smith that I highly recommend. It's called Using Aria to Enhance Web Application Accessibility. Not a lot of groundbreaking stuff, but definitely a lot of awesome, solid knowledge that you should definitely take a look at.
Yeah, I kind of have it bookmarked. You know, I don't do a lot of work on web applications, but I do on occasion, so it's like I'll have to refer back to this in those cases.
Yeah. And WebAIM is cool. They once in a while they'll sneak in one or two like real neat, tricky, different like techniques for Aria.
Right.
So, and for things like forms in a table, or I don't know, just once in a while they have some really cool techniques that catch my eye. So. But definitely solid, solid, awesome stuff as usual.
Yeah, yeah. Everything they publish, I feel like, is great.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. And then we had a pretty cool link or article, you know, Web Accessibility Law in Higher Education. I do work with some higher education stuff, so this is really cool. I really liked reading through this, and even the material I knew, it's, you know, kind of nice to get a refresher and stuff. So
yeah,
I really talked about the Section 504 and 508 and ADA when they apply and that sort of thing. So definitely worth reading through.
Yes. And, oh, speaking of WebAIM, I have another one by them, another link here from them. It's just something quick from their forum, Browser Text Sizing Options Mapped to Percentage Increases. So basically, it's just some data on a few different browsers, and when you do, like, Control Plus, you know, the percentage zoom. When you hit Control Plus, it'll increase the size of the page, so it tells you what percentage and what increment. So on Firefox, if you hit Control Plus to, like, twice, it increases 120%. But on Safari, if you do it twice, it's 144%. And IE and Chrome are listed in there too, but get the idea.
Right.
So it was a neat little, some neat little statistics if you're doing some deep diving into that.
Right. And then Salesforce.com, it seems like they have a accessibility and assistive technology survey going.
If you have any input on accessibility with Salesforce, especially if you use assistive technology, then please take this survey.
Yeah, yeah. So they're kind of trying to, I guess it sounds like they're trying to make their technology more accessible, and they just kind of want to know where they should be focusing. That's the impression I got.
Right. And that's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's getting to be a more and more popular platform, and with the Salesforce apps, you know, there's a lot more uses for it outside of the normal Salesforce.com. Mm-hmm. So those should all be accessible, too.
And recently I came across another article from Chris Coyer, the CSS expert. It's called YMs. And he's talking about how he's recently switched back to using M-based sizing or, you know, measurements in his CSS.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting. And it's a good read. And I mean, I've always kind of been an advocate of M's or, you know, relation-based sizing rather than fixed pixels or points. But, you know, for a while there, I was starting to think, well, you know, pixels isn't that bad, you know. Because, well, you know, we had some arguments at my day job about this and stuff, and, you know, IE is the only browser that won't resize. Still, that won't resize the text if it's in pixels.
Right.
But, so besides accessibility, there's this whole new thing about, you know, responsive design and smaller and mobile interfaces and stuff. And you know, and I think M's is good for that, you know, for scaling your layout. And you probably know way more about this than I do. So what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a good read, and I was kind of in the same boat where I was like, well, maybe pixels are okay, and then I started moving back to M's. But, you know, I think one of the interesting things I got out of this article is Chris Coyer, the author, was saying that, you know, people, they have this tendency to use pixels because it's like this very easy measurement almost, and they don't like M's because it seems relative. But he's saying that even pixels aren't exact, like, you know, if you pick 14 pixels, it doesn't necessarily mean that font's going to be displayed that way. It's like an approximation, so it's like it's really no different. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good read.
WebAIM.
And there's some good accessibility events coming up.
Yeah. So the camp, accessibility camp season is just about over. I don't know if this podcast, I doubt this podcast is going to be out in time, but on November 23rd, there's Accessibility Camp Montreal this Friday. And I think they were doing it virtually, too. You could register to attend virtually, so that's cool.
Yep. So if you, by the time you're hearing this, if you did see it, I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, let us know how it went.
Right.
And then on December 5th in Australia, there's a web accessibility techniques and testing course, and that I think there's a fee for that one, like a all day workshop. All the camps are free, of course, but this one looks like a pretty good extensive course. If you're near Canberra, is that how you say that city?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Apologies to everybody in Australia.
Yeah, we're silly Americans. Sorry.
And then making a measurable difference with accessible instructional materials. So a free webinar. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wait, when is that? I think that's the same. Oh, it's rescheduled for December 11th.
Yeah. Looks like there's two on the 11th. Also, the status of accessibility in mobile devices. That one sounds really interesting to me. I'm going to try and make that one.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on. That's December, so two on December 11th. Yeah,
both three webinars, hopefully not at the same time.
So hopefully it's slow at the office and you can attend one of those.
Yeah, certainly going to try. For a little.
All right, well, that's all we have today. So hope you enjoyed it, and please leave comments in the show notes, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah. And check out the new website and update your RSS feeds if you haven't already.
Definitely. And look out for Ross's book.
Yes. Hopefully it won't take another year at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
See you later. Yeah.